Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Jim Ellsbury. I'm associate pastor with Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm filling in for Pastor Marcia today, who is at the wedding of her son, Mark, and his fiance, well, now bride, I believe, Candy. So I'm filling in today. I'll be joined later on by two friends from Indiana, Betty and Megan. I can hardly wait for that. We can sit and chit-chat about Indiana stuff, so... But I just want to welcome everybody. And first of all, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who might be listening. This is your day. I hope and pray it was very, very special for you. We talked about that a little bit this morning at church, that it was Mother's Day. And we talked about some examples of mothers in Scripture and how they dealt with the promises of God. And if you've been listening to the broadcast, and you know that we've been talking about, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, talking about the concepts of sitting, walking, standing, being courageous, and things like that. Just the concept is we have to know where we sit before we can walk, because where we're seated is so important. We have to see ourselves as seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. Paul writes that that is where we're truly seated. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says we're seated there with Jesus. We went to the cross with him. We rose from the dead with Jesus. And we're seated now in heavenly places with Jesus. And that happened at the ascension of Jesus. And that was an event that occurred 40 days after the resurrection, which on our calendars this year would have been last Thursday. So I'm trying, you know, kind of combining everything. This is also Ascension Sunday, where we talk about, or kind of look back on Jesus' ascension and what that means. Well, we rose into heaven, into the heavens with Jesus. If we're believers, even though our physical bodies are here on earth, our true life, Paul says in Colossians, is hidden with Christ in God. We're seated in heavenly places. And because we know where we're seated, then Paul gives these instructions throughout Ephesians about our walk, kind of how we live our daily lives. All through chapters 3, 4, and 5, the very first part of chapter 6, Paul talks a lot about our walk, how we should walk in the world, what things are expected of us, where our empowerment comes from. And I want to go back and read a scripture that we actually talked about at Bible study on Wednesday, last Wednesday, and that's Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. As we look at what happened on that Thursday, that 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus took the disciples out to Mount of Olives, and he said, "You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses." But before that, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he gave them a command. He told them something maybe a little strange. He said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father has come. And God's given us all a lot of promises. They're all through the Word. And sometimes we have to wait on those. And we tend to be a society that doesn't want to wait. We have, you know, microwaves to instantly heat up our meals. We have the internet to instantly pay our bills. Things come at a very fast pace these days. But sometimes God says, wait. I just need you to wait. And Jesus commanded the disciples, wait in Jerusalem until the promise of my Father is fulfilled. Because he said, John baptized in water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then I'm sure the disciples kind of looked at each other and said, I have no idea what he's talking about. I really don't. But they were obedient. They went and waited. And one of the things I want to talk about a little bit later is what it means to wait on the Lord, to wait patiently for those promises to occur. And like I said, that can be very, very hard. We get the promise of God and we run with it for a while, but then maybe it's not fulfilled right away. Maybe something happens. We have to wait a little while. And we're going to talk about some examples of that from the scriptures. Abraham, Noah, the Jewish people themselves had to wait. And it becomes difficult because sometimes we want to give up. We just think, okay, where is God in all this? You know, you gave me this promise. I'm believing for this, that, or the other thing, but nothing's happening. And yet there are some very practical things God has called us to do while we wait so that we don't become frustrated, so that we don't give up hope, so that we don't lose faith. There's a lot of things that God has called us to do. One of the hardest is to wait because that requires patience. And I think we've all heard the old, you know, the joking prayer, oh, God, give me patience, and I want it right now. Patience is not an easy thing to come by. It's certainly not an easy thing to have because it's powerful if we can just be patient and wait. But it's also hard to come by. And we're going to talk about how we gain patience, how that works in our lives, how patience brings about the promises of God. And we're going to be joined right after this first song by Betty and Megan from Indiana. So I want to do the first song, Your Love Never Fails by the Newsboys.
Separate. Even if I run away, your love never fails. I know I'll still make mistakes. You have new mercy for me every day. 'Cause your love never fails. Oh no, no, no.
Yeah. for my good.
Oh, praise God. That is one song, just so our listeners know, when I hear it come on the radio, I crank my radio up really loud because I kind of want to share that with the world. So I believe Betty and Megan are on. Are you there, ladies?
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hey.
Hi, PJ.
Hey, how are you?
We're wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing real well. Really well. Well, I just want to thank you for being on the show with me today. It's such a blessing to talk to some almost hometown folks. I so love that. So, yeah, we're talking about patience and what happens when we have to wait. You know, the disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem. And I think some people have the idea that waiting just means sitting and doing nothing. Is that what it is in the Bible? Is that what to wait on God means?
No, and I'll be the first one to go at that one. Is, you know, waiting can be interpreted many different ways, but waiting upon the Lord should involve a daily spiritual walk in the lives that we're supposed to lead, and to be passionate about the freedom that we're going to obtain once that, you know, we leave this life here on earth. And it's important to remember, just because, you know, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, that doesn't mean that we should take a complacency in our lives and not live to the full extent of what we're supposed to do and treat each other with love and kindness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I was thinking when I talked about this morning in church, I looked at, you know, later on in Acts chapter 1, what the disciples did once, you know, Jesus had descended into heaven. They didn't just go back to Jerusalem and sit. You know, they went back to Jerusalem, and it says in starting in verse 11, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of about half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Then it lists who all was there, and it says it also not only just the 11 remaining disciples, but also, you know, also there was Mary, Jesus' mother, his brothers, the whole family was there, the women that had accompanied Jesus the 3 years during his ministry. And we know from Acts chapter 2, there were about 120 people gathered there. But it says here, they all met together, they were constantly united in prayer, so they weren't just sitting, they were doing something, they were praying, because, you know, God told them to wait, and like I said before the song, I kind of think they really didn't know what they were waiting on.
Right.
You know, they didn't know what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost, but they knew that they had to do something, so they prayed. And I honestly believe they prayed in that first Pentecost.
I believe you're absolutely correct, Pastor Jim. Because I think that, you know, there was this essence of anticipation of what was to come. And when you get two or three gathered in his name, you know that he is there in the midst of them, and with him actually being there, they're thinking, okay, what's going to be next? Okay, you keep going. You keep pushing yourself through that race because you know in the end that something good is going to come out of it.
Right, right. And you use a good word there, anticipation. You know, it's waiting on God carries with it a sense of anticipation, of expectation. I looked up, you know me, I love the Greek and the Hebrew words, and I looked up the word that's used in one of my favorite verses, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. We used to sing this all the time. Sometimes we still do in church. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And, you know, it says they that wait upon the Lord. And I looked that up, and in Hebrew, it means to expect, to kind of be there like at the front door looking for somebody who's on their way. And that's what I think the disciples, the apostles, were doing. They were like kind of symbolically standing at the front door, craning their necks, looking, expecting something good, something great to happen. And, you know, we know it did on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell, 3,000 people got saved. That's revival.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I know that in waiting, that you have to remain in readiness. We have to prepare ourselves for those expectations of what is to come. And that's part of the promises that are written in the Word of God, that we are to be ready. We are to stand and be ready for his coming. And that's why we can't, the waiting is that, you know, we have to be prepared. And prepared, I think, when they were in the upper room, when they were there with those people, that they were waiting and they were ready. I mean, they were, there may have been some anxiety in some, but I think that, you know, that when the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them, that they are going to be filled and salvation comes along with that readiness and that steadfastness to do that. They are going to do exactly what they were told to do by the Lord himself.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And it's just amazing to me that even though they didn't know exactly what was going to happen, they were expectant. They were, you know, really waiting. And you had brought up before about, you know, kind of waiting we're now waiting on the second coming. You know, we need to be expectant. I think some people get complacent. I don't see how. That's just, you know, that's way outside of my mindset to even become complacent about that. But some people do become a little complacent about the second coming of Jesus. And we need to have that same anticipation and pray in the second coming like the apostles prayed in the day of Pentecost.
Amen. And, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, if we knew the time, or if we could be asked, you know, when would you want Jesus to return here to earth? Would you say now, or would you say some date in the future? And you wonder if some people would say, oh, you know, next week would be better for me. And it's like, are you too in love with your worldly possessions, or are you not comfortable enough in your faith for him to make his appearance today? And that kind of, the Lord gave that to me, and it's kind of like, wow, you know, how would I answer that? Because have I myself been praying and expectantly waiting for his return, or am I expectantly, you know, awaiting a miracle to happen in our lives? You know, we have to be prepared for anything because we don't know what's going to happen, and that's why I think when people think, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm here, I am sitting here waiting on something to happen, and it's like, you know, the one thing that's just like the disciples did, they just prayed,
right,
and they just waited.
Right, exactly. If you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is pray.
Right, exactly.
You know, there's nothing else you really can do except pray, because sometimes, and I did this morning at church, you know, I was able to bring in the Ascension and Mother's Day and waiting. God did it, because I brought in those three very different things into one sermon. But I gave a couple of examples of mothers who had a hard time waiting on God. The first one was Sarah. And, you know, she kind of pushed Abraham. She knew the promise that she was going to bear a son, but all she looked at was the fact that she hadn't. And she pushed Abraham to have relations with her slave girl. And I said this morning, you know, out of that, of course, came Ishmael, all the Ishmaelites who, you know, Ishmael is the father of the Arab peoples. And so there's been an issue because of that for 3,500 years, you know, between the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Isaac. You know, there have been issues about that for that long. And then also talked a little bit about Rebecca. You know, she started out so sweet. I mean, you read Genesis chapter 24 about when Eliezer went back to Mesopotamia to get a bride for Isaac. And it's just such, you know, Genesis chapter 24 is such a wonderful chapter about, you know, how they found a bride for Isaac. And then in chapter 26, you know, or chapter 25, you know, she has her twins, Esau and Jacob, and God gave her a word. He gave her a promise. You know, he said that the younger, Jacob, you know, would rule over the older son, Esau. And, you know, so she had that promise, and she just wasn't seeing it come about fast enough. So she got Jacob involved in a little deception with his father. And again, it, you know, Jacob had to go on the run because of it. So sometimes, you know, if we don't wait on God, if we try and force God's hand, things go wrong. But fortunately, we do know that God turned all that around and reconciled, you know, Jacob and Esau. And, you know, God is so good that even when we try and force his hand, or when we try and, I guess, give him a helping hand, like he needs our help,
right.
You know, praise God, God is big enough to turn all that around. You know, that's a wonderful thing.
Oh, most definitely. When you look at it, I would much rather have the Lord guiding my steps, guarding my life, because I have tried, and I think we had talked about this several weeks ago, of how we try to control our own lives, is that we want things in the microwave age, like you were talking about a few minutes ago, that everything has to happen now. And sometimes that's not exactly God's timing for us, because there's just that kairos moment, that in time, that it will happen when it happens, because he made it happen.
Oh, exactly.
And exactly. It's just sometimes amazes me that if I will step back in faith and let him work, it goes so much more smoothly. There's no obstacles, there's no potholes, there's no ruts, there's no hits, runs, errors, there's nothing. I mean, it's all set in stone, and that's the way I would rather have it.
Right, right. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, but it's our normal human tendency is, like you said, to try and take control, to try and speed things along, because it's kind of hard to remember God's timing is not always going to be our timing.
That's right.
You know, we want it now. We want things to be easy, and they're just not going to be. There are sometimes when, you know, when our walk with God is going to be tough, either because, you know, we're meeting opposition from others, or we're meeting opposition from our own flesh, or God's just building character in us by having us wait for something to happen. And, you know, I've had that happen in my own life, where I've had to wait on some big things that I really was believing God for, and it just took a while. And, you know, sometimes that gets a little agonizing, because you know.
You're exactly right, and I think that, you know, you and Megan and myself, we can all bear witness to trying to stand back in the shadows so that the Lord can work. And even in my life in the last few weeks, with relocation, this is a very flesh-tempting time for me to say, okay, I want to do this, 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 and this, because I have this willingness to want to organize things, get things moving in my timing, mm-hmm. and the Lord will set me back and say, look, you want me to do this, but yet you try to take the wheel. Let me take the wheel, and let me show you where we're going. And his GPS kicks in, and we go at a lot better pace than I do on my own. And it just, when you were talking about Sarah, I could imagine her anticipation of the expectations that, you know, that the promise that the Lord had given her of a son. It's like I couldn't imagine the Lord telling me at my age, I couldn't imagine at her age being told, you're going to have a son. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, I can barely walk from point A to point B. And even back then, maybe she said, I couldn't walk from tent A to tent B. But she held tight to the promise that, God had given her. And it was by faith that she held on to that.
Mm-hmm. And remember, she was 65 years old when she got that promise.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know. And she had to wait 25 years for it. So that's, you know, that's a lot of waiting.
Yes, it is. It is. That's a lot of years.
Yes,
oh,
it
Lord,
is.
Have mercy.
Well, yeah. And you know, with, you know, you look at her husband, Abraham, you know, here he was 75 when he got the promise. And, you know, God said, I'm going to give you a son and, you know, your descendants are going to be more than the stars in the sky, more than the grains of sand on the seashore. And, you know, here was somebody 75 years old. And I'm sure he just looked at himself and said, uh-huh, whatever. You know, but yet something got in there and made that difference because, you know, Scripture says Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed, you know, God said, go out and look at the stars. And he went out and he started counting them, and he believed God. He just stepped out in faith and believed God. And it wasn't always a perfect road from there, you know. And a little bit later on, of course, you know, the three visitors came, and, you know, they told it, it reiterated to Abraham that you're going to have a son. And Sarah heard that, and she started laughing in her tent. And God's sense of humor is so wonderful, because what was their son going to be named? Isaac. And what does Isaac mean? Laughter. So that's, you know, that's just
Thank
such
God.
A yeah such a wonderful thing, because Sarah goes, I didn't laugh. God said, yeah, you did. And so you're going to name your son Laughter, just as a reminder of that. And, you know, it's just, but with Abraham, I love what Paul writes in Romans. In Romans chapter 4, he talks about how Abraham didn't waver in his faith. He never wavered in his believing God's promise. That's in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. You know, he said, in fact, his faith grew stronger as he gave glory to God. Now, that's another one of those waiting on God, what we have to do when we wait things. You know, he didn't just sit around and do nothing. Scripture says his faith grew as he gave glory to God, as he just kept thanking God for the promises and honoring God for this promise and honoring the God who brought him to a new land. As he glorified God, his faith grew, and he never wavered in the promise. And it said, you know, he knew his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb, but it did not make him waver in faith. He held firm to God's promise, and God fulfilled it.
Well, you know, I think in my own life, you know, here my mom and dad are going to be relocating to Mississippi. They're going to be 12 hours away, and had the possibility that the horse farm was going to have to be dissolved. But we're, you know, that was a scary time. And, you know, you sometimes get into situations where you're like, okay, God, I've got 4 months here that I've got to do something to try to get my life together and find out what I'm going to do with my horses if I'm not able to leave them where they are.
Right.
And it's scary because it's like you feel like you're out in the open, and then it's like, okay, no, wait a minute. Shut down your human mind, because you're not by yourself. And that's one of God's promises, is that he's always going to take care of his children.
Mm-hmm.
Always, no matter what situation you're faced with. And that's like, you know, and when you let go and let God, and you sit back and relax and you give him the glory and you praise him and you pray, everything will fall into place. But it may not be in the timing that we want, but it always does.
Right, right.
Amen. And I can attest to that, because we're in the same boat. we've had to, by faith, pray, and that Pastor Jim has gotten us through those times of that you know that you're going to be separated at some point, but still will have that time of, you know, reuniting just like you do with your kids up here. And it's the more you pray, the more you're on your knees and looking up, it just brings the faith from deep down within up to the point where you can grasp it and seek the reality that I am going to make it through this. And when you were talking about standing, is that if I stood still and I did nothing during this time of relocation, I would become stagnant. I would want to sit in my chair, and that's where I would sit. I wouldn't watch television, and then that's when your spirituality changes, mm-hmm. because that's what the enemy wants to do to you. He wants to set you back. He wants you to stand still. He wants you to not pray. He doesn't want you to praise God. He doesn't want you to do this. And that's where your faith, like I said, it just wells up inside of you and you just burst forth in gladness. You burst forth in happiness. Just like what we've had to do in these last few weeks is we've got to praise God for the answers in the future, because we know that He has everything in His hands.
Right. Right. Yeah, and it's comforting to know that God does know the beginning and the end. He has it all in His hands. I like the illustration that it was Corrie ten Boom before she passed away. You know, her family hid Jews in their home in Harlem in the Netherlands during World War II, and she and her sister went to prison camp Ravensbrück because of that. But she said that, you know, sometimes we only see the one side of the tapestry of our life, which is the side with all the knots and the loose threads and all that, and God sees it from the other side, the completed tapestry, whatever picture he's doing in the tapestry of our lives. That's what we need to focus on, not all the tangles and the hanging threads and all that stuff on the backside. But keep looking at what God's doing. And it's funny, well, not funny, I think it's fantastic, in Ephesians chapter 2, the verse, you know, we're saved by faith, by grace, and it's not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, for we are His workmanship. And that word there in the Greek is poema. We're His poem, His masterpiece. You know, we were created in Christ, recreated in Christ as God's masterpiece. And, you know, we sometimes in our own lives, we look at maybe some mistakes we made, even since becoming believers. I mean, you know, just because you become a believer doesn't mean that all of a sudden your life is, you know, you're perfectly in tune with God. I wish, that'd be nice. Mm-hmm. But we need to remember God sees us. He sees the finished product. And that's what's so wonderful. I mean, that song that we played earlier, Your Love Never Fails. I love that song because, you know, it quotes in there the scripture, you know, He makes all things work together for good. We may not be able to see that with our finite eyes, and yet God is making even the bad things that happen to us work for our good, as long as we continue to love Him and trust Him to bring about His will, His perfect end to whatever purpose He's doing in our lives.
Most definitely. And I look, when you said tapestry, there's a tapestry that hangs on our wall. Of course, it would have horses in it.
Of course.
It talks about the running the race, and doesn't necessarily mean that you have to come in first. But it means that you do finish. Mm-hmm. That sometimes our life is a can be it like seem like a jigsaw puzzle to some people that each, but at the very end, at the completion of our lives, that puzzle is complete, that every piece is explicitly placed in the right place because the Lord ordered it. And it is so amazing to me to see how that if we stand by faith and believe that God is going to see us through, that's the coolest part about it, is that we know that He's in control. He's my pilot. He's not my co-pilot. He's my pilot, and He's going to get me there wherever I go.
Right, and I thought about that co-pilot thing a little bit earlier when you were talking. I remember seeing a bumper sticker, "If God is your co-pilot, move over a seat."
Amen.
You know, He needs to be the pilot, not the because co-pilot, it's still like we're trying to run the show. And I really like that. I thought, well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, that can be really difficult because our tendency is, you know, especially, and I've noticed with my own life, especially when things get kind of chaotic and a little bit out of control, you know, things maybe at work or at home or whatever, just a lot of stuff going on, especially when it gets really busy. Mm-hmm. I tend to want to start grasping at stuff to try and get things back under control. And usually that's like grasping sand. It just tends to slip right through your fingers.
Exactly. Well, it's not fun to feel that you're losing control, you know, and that's a thing that you face. I mean, you face that sometimes daily in people's lives, and it's like if we could just relinquish our control of every little thing that we have and let God be the pilot, like you said, and not the co-pilot, things would go and develop differently if we could just sit back and relax a little bit. And, you know, it also comes down when you mentioned we were running a race. We are, and I would want my finish line, I want to be heaven, and I want to make sure that I'm following the pilot and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in my daily life of loving the son that I've been given, loving the husband that I've been given, the mom and dad that brought me into this world, and loving my church family. You know, if I'm not going down the right track, I want him to be able to direct me back onto the path I'm supposed to be on, and mm-hmm. I have to have my eyes and my ears open so that I can hear him. And it amazed me last night, it's just an example, Mom and I were outside, and we're feeding the horses, and all of a sudden it just got windy, and Mom thought it was getting ready to storm. And so, you know, we started praying and covering the property with the blood of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, I hear that voice. And it was, the winds of change are upon you, my child. And it's just amazing. You know, we already know that the winds of change are upon in our family. But just to hear that he's right there with me, and he's right next to me, and he's always there. Just to hear that voice, it was so comforting to hear that. And it's just, you never know when you're going to hear it, but he's always there.
Right, right. And that's, you know, he promised in the book of John, I'll never leave you, you know.
Right.
I may go away, but I'm going to come back, and I'm going to dwell in you. And that's an incredible thing, that the God of the universe, our creator, lives inside of us, has a plan for our lives, and even though we may try and hard not to accept his plan, you know, it's if we, like Abraham, just go outside, look at the stars and say, you know what, I believe, and you know, that sets in motion God's plan for us. And yeah, it may not always be the path we'd hoped for or the path that we would rather take, but it's always the best path.
Almost definitely. And I think that some of our listeners, we're still in the midst of a storm, but we have our lifesavers on. And our anchor is Jesus Christ, and we're going to praise him in this storm, because even when I don't feel like doing it, I do it anyway.
Right.
And it makes things so much more easy to swallow. Someone may be going through an illness. Someone may be going through a troubled relationship. That God is there with you, and He knows every hair on our head. He knows us. He made us, and He's going to make a complete project when all is said and done. And if I could give any advice at all, is that when you can't stand anymore, kneel and look up and praise Him for whatever you're going through, because what you said a few minutes ago about building character, it does build character. It's a hard one to swallow at times, but you stand up, you know, and you puff your chest out. You're kind of like the Rocky Balboas and said, you know what? I am not going to be defeated. I am going to fight this, and God, you're going to be right there with me all the time.
Mm-hmm. And the wonderful thing is He is there all the time. And like you said, in the midst of the storm, He's there. Remember, I mean, He walked out across the lake, across the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of a storm to rescue the disciples. And, you know, okay, I believe there's something very prophetic about this, because you want to take a just take a guess what our second song is.
Praise You in This Storm.
By Casting Crowns.
I was sure by now, God, You would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. Once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear You whisper through the rain, I'm with You. And as Your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find You? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear You whisper through the rain, I'm with You. And as Your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. My help
another song I just have to crank up every time I hear it. Such a great song and such a great message. I mean, it's what we've been talking about, even in the midst of the storms. Even in the midst of the storms, we can praise God because he's there in the midst of the storm with us.
Oh, most definitely. And when you were thinking of storms, one of the things that I have to admit I am a tiny bit frightened of is storms. And when we were talking about, but then being in the boat when the storm came up, is I always pictured, would I have enough faith to step outside of that boat? And I would, at first, when I first read that many, many years ago, I thought, no, I wouldn't be able to do that. And then as my faith increased and the more I read, the more my faith did increase. And I would think, yes, because if I knew that my Jesus was standing out on that water and he had told me to come out, that I would have had enough, maybe not back then, but it would have increased my faith to see him, to actually physically see him and step outside of that boat, step outside that water, not take my eyes off of him, because as soon as I looked down, you know, down I would go. But in the midst of our storms, he is our lifeguard. He is our lifesaver. He is everything. And I've probably counted on him more in the last few weeks, dependent on him more than I have for many, many years. And he's so faithful and just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you think when he was on the water going out there, he said, don't be afraid. And literally he said, I am. Mm. You know, in the middle of the storm, we need to remember, I am, you know, the Lord God, Yahweh, is with us. Mm. And, you know, that's just an amazing thing. And, yeah, I agree. I don't know whether I know a long time ago I would have been impetuous Peter. I would have hopped right out of the boat and then taken a couple of steps and looked around and, oh, my gosh, what in the world am I doing? And I would have sank. Now, I think I get a little bit further. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I make it all the way to Jesus, but, you know, it's true. As our faith grows, and you know, I had some sisters tell me once, some sisters in the Lord tell me, sometimes you just have to let go and believe that God's going to catch you. And that's kind of like that walking on water thing. You have to believe God's going to make that water solid under your feet. And then, you know, it was still storming. Peter got out of that boat, and it was still storming. It wasn't until Jesus, you know, until Peter sank, Jesus grabbed him by the hand, and they both went into the boat. Then all of a sudden, the storm stopped. Mm. And, you know, I think there is a lesson there about we sometimes have to be in the midst of that storm and just let Jesus catch us. Mm-hmm. And then the storm will stop because we're being held by Jesus.
Well, and we also have that he's our safety net.
Right.
He's without him, I would be nowhere. I would be standing and waiting on on the bus that will never come. And he's brought me, he's brought my family up to the point of revitalization. He's brought us to almost a point. He's brought us through repentance. He's brought us through so much in the last few weeks that all I can do right now is praise him for what he has done. We've seen a remarkable change in just our life in general. You know, you think that you're going to drown. You think, oh, how am I going to pay these bills? You know, how am I going to put gas in my car? How am I going to put groceries on my table? But you know what? He was faithful and just, because every time that one of those thoughts came or that situation arose, he was right on time. There was mm-hmm. gas in the car. There was food on the table. The bills were paid, and they were not late.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just how faithful that he is.
He is utterly faithful. And when we trust him, I mean, you know, I'm sure our listeners have heard time after time after time, just, you know, stories from me, from you, from Pastor Marcia, from all of us on this show about how God has intervened in our lives in miraculous ways. And, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to throw in, you know, and I think we are put through these storms, and because it tests our faith during that time. And we always come out victorious, no matter, you know, how long it took us to get there. And then that gives us the availability to share our experiences, you know, through this radio broadcast, that no matter what type of situation that you're in, if you will fall into the arms of Jesus, surrender your heart and your soul and your mind and your spirit, that everything will come into place. We just have to learn to be patient. And, you know, it's just like with when you talk about me and I'm running, you know, Mom and I ran the mini marathon in Indianapolis. I got to a certain mile and I'm like, I am not going to make this. And, you know, this whole entire time I'm listening to praise music and I'm praying in my head, Lord, carry me to the finish line. And he did, because he told me, he said, you will not give up. You can do anything that you set your mind to, because you're a child of God. And that is so true. You can do anything. You know, even if you're if you're sick with the flu, get up and proclaim your healing and walk righteous with God and start praising and glorifying him, and you will be healed from anything, and even financial situations, depression, anything, you name it, God can heal you.
Amen. And that goes back to the importance of the word and, you know, that waiting on the Lord. When God gives you a promise, say, for instance, like you mentioned, a promise of healing, hold that promise, speak out that promise. It's mm-hmm. It's extremely important that we, you know, that we, and maybe not just one. I mean, I would gather up a whole bunch of promises about healing and just read them and meditate on them and keep them in the forefront of your mind and speak them out. Because as Paul said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As you hear the word of God, it builds your faith. It's sort of then your faith gets built up more. You speak more of the word, your faith builds more. It's just sort of a very positive ongoing cycle. And that's, you know, and that's how you see the promise come to pass. Because we all have, I mean, there are promises of healing in the Bible, promises of prosperity, promises of deliverance, the salvation, the biggest promise of all. We see those things happening, and we need to, you know, that's one of the things we can do is pray, praise, like, you know, the disciples prayed. Abraham just glorified God. And the other thing, one of the other things we can do is continue to speak the word. Because, you know, in one of Pastor Marsh's favorite scriptures, he sent his word and healed them and saved them from all their destruction, Psalm 107. So, you know, you send out the word to those situations. And, you know, the word then saves you from your destructions.
Well, you know, we were sitting at the table this morning and we were talking about the things that the Lord has done for us and how he's brought us through. And we're reminded that in Acts, when they were in that room, that they had to... They were actually able to see the presence of Almighty God himself. And I wished at some point in my younger days, I always wanted to see miracle signs and wonders. And I think that in these next few months, weeks, and years ahead, that we're going to see miracle signs and wonders just as the disciples did, as those 120 did, that the Holy Spirit is going to come. There's going to be the book of Revelation is coming to pass, and that we can't stand around and be idle anymore, Pastor Jim. We have got to go out. We have got to preach the gospel just as, you know, I feel like I'm just a lonely little servant in some little infinite part of the country, but still with my testimony, with the Word of God that we can't stand still. We have got to keep moving. We have got to push forward. We've got to get the Word of God out to everyone that we possibly can, because we want to see as many brothers and sisters when His ascension, is that right? His ascension is coming down. Is we want to see as many people as we possibly can go up and live with Him forever, and we can't stand idly by anymore. We have got to get up. We've got to become preachers of the Word. We've got to become disciples just like they were. They were out working. They were out pounding the pavement, so to speak, and they were winning souls for Christ. And there are going to be people that are going to come in opposition with us, but you know what? Just like we said before, you've got to stand and stand firm and believe by faith that this is all going to come to pass. And I praise God for you and for Pastor Marcia, that you're so strong in the Word. Your preaching and teaching has changed my life forever. And it's because that God gave you that ability to be able to take the Word of God and make it so that we understand it. And that's where we can't just stand idly by anymore, Pastor Jim and Megan.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, absolutely. Megan, your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I just was trying to prepare for the radio show today, and I kind of like Google searched just some specific words to search in for scriptures, and Revelations came up, which Mom, you know, mentioned that this is all going to be coming true, and that is totally correct. And I was led to chapter 3, and in verse 19 of chapter 3, it says, "The people I love, I call to account, prod and correct and guide so that they will live at their best. Up on your feet then, about face, run after God." And I, you know, that's what we have to do in these end times, is we have to turn and find the face of God and run that direction, because our world has gotten so worldly. We have, you know, everybody is so caught up in their possessions, what kind of car they drive, where they went to college, what kind of college degree that they hold. But you know what? Yes, that's great for you, but that's not what matters. We are here for a much higher reason. We're here to save as many people as we can. And like Mom said, we have got to get fired up and spread the Word of God and save everybody that we possibly can, because God created every single one of us here on earth, and He wants us in heaven with Him. He doesn't want us stuck here and left behind for the aftermath that's going to take place once Jesus returns to this earth.
Amen. Amen.
Woo-hoo!
I know.
We have to give that a Pastor Marcia. Woo! Amen.
That's
praise
right.
God.
She got to preach in there.
Yes, but that's, sorry about that.
No,
that's all right.
No, please.
You go, girl.
I was
going to
say,
did.
Never be sorry for preaching. I mean, I did that too in front of the church. I got preaching one time. I said, "Oh my, I'm sorry, I'm preaching." You know, because I see myself as more of a teacher. And
right.
The pastor said, "Don't ever apologize for that."
No.
But it's true. We are approaching a very critical time in this world's history, and we're poised to make an incredible difference. And I want to talk more about that when we get back from station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
I haven't heard that one before.
Isn't that hilarious? That's I love that.
Listen. Amen. Y'all listen
Amen.
Up. Y'all listen up. I do just want to take a real quick minute here to talk about the prayer ministry that we have at Beacon of Hope. We have a prayer ministry. You can write to our prayers, and that's for Beacon of Hope, for BOHMGlobal.com, prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. And you just put down your prayer request, and believe me, we have had some answers, have we not?
Oh, amen.
You know,
Jim.
In this past month, we've seen people healed of the after effects of a stroke. We've seen blood clots disappear. I mean, God moves through the prayers of His people. So it's important, if you have a prayer request, anyone, I mean, we've taken prayer requests from as far away as Australia. So if any of our listeners have a prayer request, please send that to us at bohmglobal.com. We'll pray about it. I mean, because usually it's me or, of course, Carol up in Georgia. We send out the prayer request to our prayer team, and everybody prays in unity about that prayer, about that request. And we have seen miracles happen. So, and if you'd like to be a member of the prayer team, you can send your name and of course your email to us at the same email address, and we'll be more than happy to put you on our prayer team, because we are seeing it. And what I'm doing is, when we get a praise report back, I have a little special subfolder in my emails where I keep those praise reports, because it's important that we know that we're able to look back on what God has done. So, you know, we can say, you know what, we prayed about this and look what God did. Look what God did here. And that's, amen. you know, and again, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, is that God, you know, God is bringing all things together and moving all things, getting all things ready for the return of his son. And, you know, people need to know God's love. They need to know the measure of God's love, because I still think a lot of people, you know, just figure, you know, God maybe made the world, but then he turned his back on it and walked away or whatever. No, he did not do that. He gave his only begotten son so that we could know him. You know, Jesus, who was God the Son, took on our flesh, became human in all respects, died on a cross, rose again, ascended into heaven, and is coming back. And, you know, God loved us enough. The Father loved us enough to give us his Son. And I just want to, as we play this next song, again, a Casting Crown song, Your Love is Extravagant. Just think about God's love and what all he has done for each one of us.
Extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. Your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever. Capture my heart again. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship. Fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place, and your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the
your sin. No greater love have I ever known. You considered me a friend and spread wide in the arms of Christ. It's a love that covers sin. Capture my heart again. Ooh. Your love is extravagant.
What a great song to begin the second hour. You know, we talk about God's love is extravagant. I mean, how much more extravagant can it get than giving his own son? And for our listeners out there, if maybe you don't know him yet, maybe you've thought about Jesus or you've just wondered about this whole Jesus thing, you know, later on we're going to talk more in detail about what it means to accept Jesus. But, you know, I just want to press this point. It's actually out of 2 Corinthians 5. God reconciled the world to himself through Jesus. You know, a lot of us have this idea that God is up in heaven with a big baseball bat just waiting to smack us on the head every time we do something wrong. And that's not the concept. That's not God at all. He sent his son so that he could reconcile us to himself. God is not mad at us anymore. And there's no barrier between, you know, to stop us from coming to God, except maybe our own fear, maybe our own self-will, you know, or maybe we're honestly deceived. But, you know, the way is open. God has opened a way to fellowship with himself through Jesus, the Messiah.
Amen. And, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about that God can do anything. And that, just those few little words, there's so much that he can do for you. And that it's far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gentle within us. And that's the kind of God that I know, is that he's gentle, kind, compassionate, and caring. And he does care about each and every one of us. And I know there's probably some listeners out there that feel like that God has forgotten them, that God has never been with them, never has been, never will. But I know a few years back, he didn't leave me. I left him. And you know what? I went right back where I left him, picked it back up, and walked hand in hand with him, and have walked with him ever since. So if you've gotten away from the Lord, he's right there with you. And I think, was it Carol said something about all you have to say is the word Jesus, and he's there.
Right, right. Absolutely. And yeah, I had a similar experience, almost 30 years ago now. I got angry at God because, you know, I was misled and believed that God was going to do some things that he just wasn't going to do. So I got all mad and walked away. You know, it's like, well, fine, you were supposed to do this and you didn't, so I don't want anything more to do with you. And that lasted about, 6 months. And then, you know, it's really hard to walk away from God. You know, I mean, I know there's probably some people who do actually do that, but I couldn't. God just kept drawing me back. There'd be this little incident or that little incident, or I'd, you know, stumble across something on Christian television, and God just kept calling me back to himself. And I agree. If there's, if you know, believe me, if it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how far you've strayed from God, He wants you back. He wants you to come back to Him. He wants to come back into that fellowship with you. And like we talked about before, you know, before the last song, we don't have much time left. We seriously don't. And I agree, you know, I agree there's, I just feel there's going to be a huge revival before Jesus comes back. You know, Paul wrote, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And then John wrote that, you know, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overpower it. So even when the world gets darker and darker, that just means the light that we have is going to shine that much more brightly, that much more strongly in the midst of the darkness.
Amen.
And people are going to be drawn to that light. I mean, that was promised in Isaiah. People will come to the light of your glory. People will be drawn to that. And, you know, we can look at all the things going on in the world today. You know, the terrorism and the wars and the pestilence and all that. And you know what? Hey, I read that in Matthew chapter 24. This is not new news to me. And, you know, again, that's the promise. Jesus said these things, he told us these things are going to happen before he comes back. And, you know, he wrote, don't worry, lift up your heads, your redemption draws near. And I think our natural human thing is to run and hide or to get, you know, hard-hearted about it. And, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, because of lawlessness, and I catch myself doing this sometimes, because of lawlessness, the love of the many will grow cold. And the word that he uses for love there is agape, which you're talking about Christians there. You know, we see all the lawlessness in the world, and sometimes we just, our love gets cold. And I see that happening now, that because of lawlessness, people just don't care. You know, their love has grown cold. And Jesus says right after that, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. We have to remain in love. We have to cling on, you know, just hold on to all those promises about God's love in us. And we have to minister God's love, no matter how dark it looks, no matter how awful the situation. If we minister God's love, then we're doing what he's called us to do. We're Amen. Doing his will, and we will see miracles occur.
Amen. You know, you know, I'm only 32 years old, but I'll tell you what, people, this world has changed a lot in my short time here on this earth, and it's rather scary to see what is taking place within people when you're out in public. And, you know, God is our creator, and yes, his love is extravagant. And, you know, if you just Google the dictionary about that word, it says that it's extremely abundant and it's exceeding reasonable bounds. So you can't even fathom how great our creator's love is for his children. And that's what we need to get down to the basics, back to loving each other. And I wish that we could stop being afraid to help people. You know, we're so afraid that, you know, that somebody's going to use condemning words for maybe helping a person in a wheelchair, or that, you know, that there's a mom with four children that's walking through the parking lot and, you know, she might need help keeping her kids close to her so that somebody, you know, maybe doesn't see them and an accident happens. We've got to let go of our inhibitions and our fears of each other, that, you know, we have to remember that God loves us abundantly and extravagantly, and we need to do that with one another. And, you know, even, you know, today being Mother's Day, you know, if you're a mom that is full of anger and, you know, I don't know what your anger would be at, give it today, give it to God, and let it go. Don't take it out on other people in your life. Give it to God and cleanse yourself today. Cleanse your spirit and get back and find Jesus, and you will be healed. And it's just, we've just got to just get back to loving each other. That's all I can say. This we've just got to do it.
Well, you know, we recently had a commitment ceremony at church, and I read 1 Corinthians 13. The last verse of that chapter is, now abide these three. Now faith, hope, and love abide these three. And the greatest of these is love. You know, we can't survive without faith. We can't survive without hope. But we really can't survive without love.
That's right.
And, yeah. You know, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the love of God has been shed abroad, poured out. You know, we've been drowned, basically, in God's love. And that's the love that we're called to share. Because, you know, I could share, like, you know, I could share my love, you know, on my, you know, try and do it in the flesh and whatever. And all I'm going to get is frustrated, because that kind of love is expecting something in return.
Exactly.
God's love expects nothing in return. Agape says, I'm going to love you no matter what. It's a decision of your will. It's not based on emotions. It's a decision of your will. I'm going to love you and no matter what. And I just popped into my mind what David Wilkerson told Nikki Cruz in The Cross and the Switchblade. When he was ministering to those gang members in New York, he said, Nikki, you can cut me into 1,000 pieces. Because Nikki threatened to, you know, slice him up. And he said, you can cut me into 1,000 pieces, and each one of those pieces is still going to love you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's, and you're right. You're absolutely right. That's the kind of love we have to have, especially in these last days, because that's what's going to bring people to God. I mean, there's enough counterfeits out there already. You know, there's so many counterfeits out there. People, you know, either, you know, direct counterfeits saying that they are God, or just kind of counterfeits for Christian living. You know, all this New Age stuff and counterfeit love. You know, I call it sloppy agape. you know, it's just that kind of icky feeling kind of love.
Right.
But God's love, sick. Yeah, God's love is sacrificial. It's not sloppy. It's sacrificial. And, you know, those are the promises that we have, that God is going to give us that love. I mean, he's promised us that love. He's promised us that power. All those promises are ours. And, you know, those, like we talked about earlier, you know, now we've got to really dig in and take hold of these things, because as the world grows darker, we have to let our light shine, and we have, and the only way to do that is to really, really confess, know what the promises are. And even if it looks like they're not coming to pass, we need to be able to keep confessing them, to keep believing God that what he's promised, he will do. Unlike us, who, you know, we may not be true to our word, God has always proven true to his word. We, around Christmas time, we always talk about the prophecies concerning Jesus and how God is so true to his word that there's no way that anyone else could have fulfilled those prophecies. God brought them all to pass in Jesus. And the astounding number, it's 1 in 110 to the 114th power, or something incredible like that, far more than the number of human beings that have ever and will ever exist, were all fulfilled in Jesus. And those, you know, those are the promises that we have. That's the And that's the wonder of God, that he's given us these promises to hold on to. And as we listen to our next song called Promises by Sanctus Real, just remember, we have to hold on to those promises in these days.
Sometimes it's hard to keep believing in what you can't see, that everything happens for a reason, even the worst life brings. If you're reaching for an answer, then you don't know what to pray. Just open up the pages, let his word be your strength, and hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises. Just hold on. Just hold on.
You know, everybody's going to think I drive around my radio up really loud all the time. But that's another song that I just love to crank up. So, you know, but again, that goes back to our whole theme, is holding on to the promises. You know, they use the scripture out of Romans 8, neither life nor death, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing.
You are exactly right. And I don't have a heavenly, or I don't have an earthly father anymore. He passed away many, many years ago. And I'm not sure who my biological father is, because I was adopted. But even though I don't know my biological father, I knew my earthly father, and my earthly father loved me. But I know, according to his promises, that my heavenly father loves me 1,000 times more than my earthly father does, because my God gave his only son. I mean, think about this. His only son. He only had one son. And if we had to do that today, would we be able to do it? Would we be able to sacrifice our only child for the love of others? And I would say I couldn't, but God did. God gave his only son so that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is something that it still makes me tear up today, is the love of our Heavenly Father.
Amen. Amen. What? And Jesus said, greater love has no man than he that would lay down his life for his friends. And he calls us his friends. I mean, that's a promise we can hold on to. We are friends of God. And he laid down his life for us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And, you know, he's promised good to us. You know, God didn't promise bad to us. You know, that's not one of the promises. You know, every promise in the Bible for us is good. And this is going to sound bizarre, but we are promised persecution too. But you know what? That's for our good.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we're persecuted, you know, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He tells us to jump with joy when we're persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
So even promises that we may not want to apply to our lives, even those are for our good. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter that when you're persecuted, the Spirit of God and the glory and of God rests on you. So even those, you know, there's those few negative, I don't want to use, that didn't sound right, but the negative sort of promises, the ones that we may not always want to claim for ourselves, even those, if you really explore them, they have a glorious side to them. You know, we have the promises of healing, salvation, deliverance, all of that, because God loves us. And like the song we just played says, you know, we have to hold on to those promises. I kind of picture, I had the person that I took Greek from when I was up at Ball State University, talking about kind of the derivation of the word for faith in Greek, it's the word pistis, and that went into Latin as fide, you know, like semper, you know, semper fide, always faithful, the motto of the Marines. And that's where, of course, we get Fido, the dog. And the reason that is because that word means to sink your teeth into something and not let go. Like you've seen a dog do that, where they'll sink their teeth into something and just not want to let go. That's the kind of faith we have to have. That's the kind of holding on to the promises where we just sink our teeth into that promise. And we hold on to it no matter what. No matter what it takes, we're going to hold on to those promises. And, you know, there may be viewers out there today that maybe you need a promise from God. Maybe you've got something going on in your life, you know, maybe a need of a healing. Maybe there's a relationship issue. Maybe it's, you know, a family issue, unsaved loved ones, whatever it is. Get into the Word of God. A lot of Bibles now come with, you know, in the back, you know, where to find help when this this is going on, or that's going on, or this is going on. I would highly recommend doing that. Find or buy that little Bible promise book. Something where you can get the word in front of you. Find the scriptures that apply to your life situation and sink your teeth into them. Don't let go of them. You know, hold on to those promises. Amen.
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 And God's promises are true. There is nothing false about God's promises, because what he says, he will do.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, if there's some people that are listening or listen in the future that don't know about Jesus or want to get closer with Jesus, is I brought down my mom's Prayers of Baal Much book, and I just turned to a page. It says, what is prayer? And it says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. So that's one of the other promises that we have, is if we pray and we believe and we proclaim, and one of my favorite Pastor Marcia statements is, put a stake in the ground today, that you're going to start praying and believing for promises that your life will be saved and you're going to have eternal life with God the Father in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and I think that's an important concept of putting the stake down. The prophet Samuel did that. I mean, he put a stone down and he called it Ebenezer, you know, the stone of remembering, because he said, up to this point, God's been with us. I'm putting this stone here, this remembrance. And we need those in our life. We need those times when we just say, okay, putting it down right now, right here, right now, and I'm moving forward.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's so important that we do that, because and I would recommend also journaling, you know, just, or marking in your Bible. If a scripture jumps out at you, put down the date next to it, maybe a little just short circumstance, because that way when you come across that scripture again, you're going to say, oh yes, God gave me this. God gave me this word on this date, and look what's happened since then.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's a way, you know, whatever it takes to remember, you know, to keep in remembrance what's happened. That's important. And you see that happening all through the Bible. What did they do? Well, you know, like Abraham. Well, a good example, Jacob, when after his spat with his brother Esau, he had to hightail it out of the promised land, out of Canaan, to go live with his relatives. We had that dream. And, you know, he saw the angels ascending and descending up and down the ladder into heaven. And he said, surely God is in this place. And what did he do? He built an altar. Every place that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had an encounter with God, they built an altar. And I think sometimes we need to at least symbolically do that in our own lives. Whatever we need to do to build our altar, whether it's journal about it, mark up our Bible, but some way of remembering, yes, God helped me at this point. This is where God helped me. And that is
so important, Pastor Jim, because back so many odd months ago, a friend in Christ had given me a journal, and I'm not the best writer. I did terrible in English. I couldn't write a story to save my soul. But journaling doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be your thoughts from your heart and your soul. And when I started journaling back in October of probably about a year ago, I can look back now and think, that's where I was, and this is where I am today. Mm-hmm. Because God's promises had brought me through the storm. He'd brought me through the rain. He's heard my cry, just as he heard Job's cry. You know, God, why have you forsaken me? That was my writings then. And it's like, oh God, look what you have brought me through. Look at the goodness that you have given me. Look at the blessing upon blessing that I was overlooking because I was so caught up in my own pity. I mean, I had my own little pity party, and when I saw where I was and where I am today, I thank God 10 times a day. Lord, thank you for bringing me through that storm. Thank you for bringing me out of that pity party that I lived in for so many months. And it's like a light comes on, or you know, when you come from from darkness into light, how much more brilliant, how much more clarity there is when you believe, trust, and rely on God's promises.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's absolutely true. And you know, we can't. I mean, this whole radio show today has been about holding on to the promises and just trusting God, kind of falling back into the arms of our loving Savior. You know, we used to play that trust game. I'm sure most everybody's done it, where you just kind of have to trust the person you're behind that they're going to catch you. And that's how it is with God. I mean, it's not blind faith. You know, we're not telling anybody to have blind faith, because that's unscriptural. Blind faith is unscriptural. We place our faith on God's word, what he said. We stand on those promises in God's word. It's not like we're just saying, oh, you know, God, catch me. But we're saying, God, you promised this, and I'm releasing myself into your arms to bring it to pass.
Amen. You know, and I think sometimes it might take people a certain period of time or however long it takes, but, you know, get to a point where you're fed up with the old, and go get you a rock, or go get you a journal, or go get a stick. And, you know, if whatever it takes for you to remember where you're going to shed off the old and start with the new, where you're going to clothe yourself in righteousness, and you're going to become a child of God, where you are ready to make a change. When you are ready to jump in, do it. And it's just like Pastor Jim said, the game of falling into somebody's arms is, I can tell you, God will always catch you. He will always be there to catch you when you fall, because that's another one of his promises.
Right, right. And he's, you know, we can't stress that enough. If you have a need, then just go to the Word and find a promise for that need. And if you need help doing that, you can email me, Pastor Jim at beaconofhopeministries.com. Email me. I'll be more than happy to send you some scriptures on whatever the issue is. I mean, that's you know, I love getting into the Word. I love doing stuff like that, and I would love to help you. Dear listeners, if you need help finding scripture for your particular situation, email me. You can go to our website too, beaconofhopeministries.com or bohmglobal.com. Go to our website and you know, I'm on there. You can, you know, kind of email me from the website. But I would love, I mean, anything I can do to help you in your walk is what I want to do.
Amen, and, Pastor Jim. You know, and it's amazing, because you say that. I was sitting here, I've got my Bible in front of me, and I was led to James chapter 5, verse 13. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. So, you know, just as Pastor Jim is saying, if you need help, reach out to him, anybody on the website, and they will help you, because that is another thing of God's children, is what we're supposed to do, is help each other in a time of need. And that's what Pastor Jim is saying. You know, reach out and ask for help. Don't be so prideful of yourself that you can't reach out and ask someone to help you, because that's what we're here for. We love you because we're all children of God. And again, swings back around. We all have to love each other no matter what we've done. Amen.
Amen. And you know, don't be afraid. You know,
right.
God's
Amen.
Promises are not something to be feared. They're something to be rejoiced in. You know, some people think, well, and what if I do this and it doesn't come to pass? Well, you know what? Just keep holding on to it, because it will come to pass. And again, that goes back to our previous thing about it may not happen in our timing, but it will happen. I mean, that's God. God is true to his word. And, you know, I just praise God for his word, for the fellowship that we have as believers, the fellowship with each other, the fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And I can't wait until we sing. You know, I love our singing in church. You know, it's just like I always talk about how it brings us into the Holy of Holies and, you know, right into the throne room of God. I can't wait to do it in person. I'm looking forward to that.
I just got goosebumps. Amen.
And I say that because our next song is the Revelation song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. So, by Newsboys, this
Newsboys,
version.
Yeah.
So, you know, a great, great song. And just think about our ultimate destination is his throne room.
Thank you. are slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Such a great song. And you know, that's our eternal destiny, is to be there. And you know, sometimes we get so bogged down in the day-to-day stuff, and I know what helps me is clinging on to those promises, all of them. And especially, you know, people are afraid to go and read the book of Revelation. Ooh, that's too scary. But there's some great songs in there, okay? Chapters 4, 5, 7, there's some great songs in there. I mean, just some great praise anthems in there. And that's what this past, you know, this last song was all about, was out of Revelation 4 and 5. That's what I wanted, I want to do now. You know, our lives now should be as though we're already before the throne. Because like I started the show with, remember when Jesus rose into heaven, where did we go? We rose with him. You know, we're up there already. We're, in a sense, singing before the throne room. But even now, we need, you know, praise and worship. One of the things that I know I've found that's helped me immensely in holding on to the promises is to find me some praise songs and just sing. I work in social service. I work with people who are HIV positive. And so I've started taking like my little, you know, wow praise CDs to work, because that really cuts through, you know, some of the darkness that you can get. I mean, it can be pretty overwhelming. But you know what? You have the praise music going on in the background. Have it in your car. Just sing out your praises to God. because that strengthens your faith also. That goes back to those verses about Abraham, how he didn't waver in his faith, but he was made strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. As I believe Abraham was singing praise songs to God, you know, just thank you, Lord, you're going to give me a son. You're the, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And he strengthened his faith. And that's, you know, that's a great, incredible thing. So, you know, singing, worshiping, praising is a way to hold on to those promises also.
Most definitely, Pastor Jim. And we have so many media sources available to us, you know, through our television, through the intranet, through our iPads, our iPhones, that, you know, the Bible's available. But one of the things that when I get to heaven is that I want to sing, and I'm going to sing really, really loud. and I'm going to praise God because I can do that here so that I can be perfected enough so that when I get to the throne of glory and I be able to sing praises, I'll dance before God and do the things that I'm doing here that will become so natural to us when we get to heaven that there won't be that any inhibitions or any sadness. It'll all be dancing. So I'm ready. I take my music out when I go out to the horses. I play the music on the tractor. I play it when I walk, and it just it lifts your spirit when you hear a praise song or a song that talks about Almighty God. You know, glory, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lamb, and it just refreshes me. It gives me a breath of fresh air, and it's awesome. It's awesome to be able to praise God in the midst of a storm.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Amen.
Absolutely. Because if you can do that, first of all, you're singing the word, and
amen.
It's word that builds your faith. Whether you're speaking it, you know, so you can hear it. Maybe you've got the Bible on cassette or cassette. Ooh, that shows my age.
Eight track.
I was gonna say at least I didn't say eight track. Yeah, I mean the Bible on CD or maybe an MP3 player, whatever. Keep the word going, and then, you know, again, praising God, singing God's praises. That's such a great way, because that actually, you're right, it lifts you up, takes you kind of out of this realm, and puts you into the throne room.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, it's just like the praise and worship at Beacon of Hope. And, you know, when that's going on, it's hard to describe, because it's like, you know, being in your car when you crank the praise music. And, you know, I do that all too often and hear my son say, "Ma, that's too loud." And it's like, oh, sorry. But it's hard to describe. But the only thing I can tell you is it's an endorphin rush. It's a physical endorphin rush, because you are just, I mean, you're just praising and worshiping God, and you do. It's like you're lifted up into the heavenlies, and you're right there, and you're just praising God right in front of him. But you actually can't see him, but you feel as though you're right there. It's just amazing.
You know, the other thing is he delights in our praises.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And the scripture in Psalm 22, he inhabits the praise of his people.
Praises of his people.
If you need to bring God on the scene, then praise
right.
him, because that brings God right there. He inhabits our praises. And I just want to encourage our listeners, get yourself some praise music. Sing along. It doesn't matter whether you sing good or not.
Right.
Just, you know, the promise is, we've talked all about promises today, the promise is God inhabits the praise of his people. When you praise God, God comes on the scene. God moves in your behalf. And that's a glorious thing. So I just want to get some final thoughts from Betty and Megan. Any final thoughts, my dears?
Go ahead, Mom.
I praise God that today is Mother's Day, and that I was able to raise a daughter that praises God and doesn't care what anyone thinks. So I am blessed, and I hope that there are other mothers out there who give praise to God for their daughters. and for their family. And I praise God for you, Pastor Jim, and I praise God for Pastor Marcia and the people of Beacon of Hope, that you will continue to serve in the capacity that you're in as pastors, and will continue to spread the gospel around the world, so that when that time does come, that our Jesus comes to take us home, that we all go together.
Amen. Amen.
I'll try to make this short.
Hey, you know, take all the time you need, Megan.
Mom, you know, saying that I praise the Lord and I don't care what anybody thinks is because I don't. Because, you know, I am a mom, and I've only been a mom for 3 years. But God chose me to raise Andrew. And, you know, when I praise God, I am setting an example for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And children learn by example. You can tell your children everything under the sun of how to grow up to be the right kind of woman or the right kind of man. But your children are going to learn by the example that you set in your daily life. And I choose to set an example to my son that we worship our Creator, because the path that we walk with him is much greater than the path we walk without him. And I pray, I still to this day love the song, God is Not Dead, because I'm praying that God shakes this earth with the sound of revival, and that love washes over every single listener of this radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. And that, though, that, you know, if anybody is struggling and needs help, please just reach out to someone that you know believes in our Almighty God, and we will pray for you, and we will get you back on the path that you need to be, because that's what we are here to do. And I just thank you, Pastor Jim, for letting us be on today.
Yes.
God bless you, and Mom, God bless you, and all the listeners on this broadcast.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Woo.
Ding, ding, ding.
I know, we got some ding dings going on. Yeah, I mean, amen. And I just, you know, we have just a few minutes left. I really feel like we need just to spend some of that time in prayer.
Amen.
You know, praying for the listeners, because I just have kind of had a sense throughout this whole broadcast that there are people out there who needed to hear about the promises and needed to hear about God's love. And so I just want to pray for our listeners and ourselves in this ministry. So, Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up our listening audience to you. Father, whatever needs there are in the listening audience, Father, if there's need for salvation, need for filling, baptism of the Holy Spirit, need for healing, deliverance, prosperity, whatever miracles are needed, Father, we know that you are the God who can do those things. Father, we know that there are promises in your word for each and every situation, no matter how dark, how bleak it looks. Father, we thank you that you have given us promises. And Father, I just feel like there's somebody out there with depression. Father, I would just speak to them that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that he has turned your mourning into dancing for joy. He's put off your sackcloth. Those are promises from Psalm 30. He's put off your sackcloth. God has restored you. He's restored your joy. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for every person who's hearing us now. We thank you. We ask you, Father, just to open their ears, open their hearts. Father, that your word would go forth and not return void, but it would go forth and do what you want it to do. Father, we give you glory. We ask you, Lord, we just lift up this radio ministry to you, that you would continue to use it to reach people. To reach people, Lord, who, no matter where they're at, no matter where they're at in their relationship with you, that they would be touched, they would be ministered to, whatever the need. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving now and forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, Amen.
Amen.
It has just been a glorious, glorious time today. I didn't realize till I heard all the music. I thought, boy, I picked out some rocking stuff today. But, you know, praise God. And I just want to thank you both, Betty and Megan, for being on with me. It's just such a pleasure to be on the radio with you two. I mean, we just, you know, maybe it's just because we're all Hoosiers, but we click, you know, we click. And I really, really, really like that. But I just praise God for your faithfulness, you know, your faithfulness to the radio program. And I just want to encourage our listeners, if you are in the Tampa Bay area, you know, come and join us for worship service. We have services on Sundays at 10:30 at the Ramada on Olmerton, 3500 block of Olmerton. Please come and join us. We meet in the Golf Room, and our services start at 10:30. We're usually done around noon, 12:30. We also have Bible study on Wednesday nights. We start Wednesday nights with prayer meeting at 6:15. We will read out of the Prayers That Avail Much book that Megan talked about earlier. We'll also take prayer requests. We pray about those. 7 o'clock, we get into the Word. We talk about, you know, we talk about the different topics. And Wednesday night is really unique because it's more of a discussion. Everybody brings their Bibles. Everybody joins in. I mean, it's just, you know, kind of time of fellowship, discussion. A lot of people come directly from work. So, some people bring their dinners. So it's just a great time of fellowship. So those are our services. Remember also, go visit our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Great website. We've just been revamped. It looks incredible. And just kind of poke around there for a while. So, well, this is Pastor Jim Ellsbury. I just want to, again, thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Betty and Megan, for participating. And we will see you here next week, 3 o'clock, for Living the Good Life.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.